You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Guys, by now you've heard me talk about Collars & Co., makers of the dress collar polo. They've already sold over a million of these amazing shirts. Well, Collars & Co. just came out with the new Maverick Performance Blazer. This blazer is sharp and wrinkle resistant, so you can travel anywhere with it. Just throw it in your bag and it will remain wrinkle free. It even comes with security zip pockets, a sunglasses loop, and an optional pocket square. So visit collarsandco.com and use code TIKI for 20% off at collarsandco.com.
What's up, guys? I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. We're heading towards the home stretch of the WNBA season, and there is so much to get into every episode. Twice a week, I'm joined by one of my amazing co-hosts as we dissect the biggest games, performances, and even some off-court drama. The playoffs are quickly approaching, and now is the best time to tune in. Who will come away as this year's champion? The competition is heating up, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Phillips coming again. May steps up, throws. He's got Stevenson. What a catch down the sideline. Stevenson cuts it back, and he's still going. Ramondre to the 20. A 56-yard gain, the longest catch.
Dare I say even more so than his first touchdown pass as a professional quarterback way back in 2024 at home against the Houston Texans. That pass, a bit of an improvisational move from Drake May to Ramondre Stevenson. No, not Travion Henderson, the pass back we were promised, but Ramondre the Giant, as my buddy Ari likes to call him, out in space making a beautiful both arms extended catch, reversing the momentum in the game against Miami, tilting the tables back towards the Patriots' favor, and what would be a dynamic second half, a wild drunken fourth quarter that saw the Patriots hang on for dear life by the hair of their chinny chin Devon Achon shoestrings. Final score 33-27. We're here today, your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens and the Lions Den, the professor himself, John Lyons, to break down our final Pats positives from the big win and what the Patriots can do to hold on or build off of that momentum and maybe get a little bit of a winning streak going, potentially two winnable games the rest of the way in September at home. Johnny, how are you, kid?
Doing great, Fitzy. It's nice to be on one of these shows after the Patriots actually win a game. So, you know, that was good to see. And this was a win. We're going to get into it. I think it was a nice little step forward in their development.
I got to tell you, honestly, like, I was a little emotionally flatlined, like I think a lot of Pats fans were, after the veritable no-show in the home opener, such a clunky affair, 2013 to the Raiders. And we saw what the Raiders were really made of last night when the Chargers dominated four quarters box to wire, 20-9 at Allegiant Stadium, AKA the football stadium with a discotheque built into the end zone. I think people's excitement for the season, stagnated a little bit. Like, it stalled out on the side of the highway because it was just such a languid affair. Like, nothing exciting happened. They never got going on offense. Drake May threw way too often. There was no run game, breakdowns defensively. Whereas Sunday, even though they give up more chunk plays and the middle of the field is still a problem, as are the linebackers, John, I think we saw a lot of things that you can get excited about, things that they can build off of. And it begins with the electric and efficient performance by Drake May, 19-23, 230 yards in the air, 30 more on the ground, two passing tutties, one rushing tutty, and overall just a clinical performance that had to have head coach, OC, and the fans excited all alike.
Yeah, it's really night and day for Drake May from week one to week two. I mean, you go back to week one, I thought May, and I was in the stands for that game too, a lot of frustration among the fans.
I wouldn't brag about that.
Yeah, I know. It rained too, all that. But look, week one, he was missing open receivers. He looked sped up. The biggest play of the game, arguably, was his interception. I mean, if they go down and score there, maybe the Patriots win that game in week one, right? Week two in Miami, he looked infinitely better. And the comfort was a huge part of this. And yes, they got the running game established, I know. But just that highlight you played, Fitzy, at the beginning of the show, where he steps up in the pocket, keeps his eyes downfield, finds Ramondre Stevenson open for a huge gain. That's one of the best plays he's had in his young career as a Patriot, going back all the way through last year. And another huge part of this, Fitzy, and I know you and I talked about it all offseason. We talked about it in the summer. No turnovers by Drake May in this game.
Massive.
Only the second time he has finished a game with no turnovers so far in his young career. He's had four starts with no turnovers, but one of them was the Jets game. He got hurt. The other was the Buffalo game. They pulled him. So only the second time he's finished a game. And I don't think it's a coincidence. This was a really good offensive performance from him and the offense as a whole. And they didn't have any turnovers. So I thought, again, really impressive day from Drake May. You could make the case it was his best game as a Patriot from just an efficiency standpoint, but also a comfort standpoint as well.
Yes, 100% in on the comfort, the efficiency. He looked right from the get-go. Like, what did we want to see? We wanted to see Drake start fast. We wanted to see Drake connecting on some short passes right away when Ramondre started bulldozing up the middle, and then he hit Steph Diggs for an 8-yarder on 3rd and 4. You know, the broadcast team called it a classically Edelman type of route. Yet you had a feeling like, oh, okay, so this is the way it's going to go. Even though he did take a sack on that play where McDaniels insisted on running that stupid double backwards fake play. He ran it in Super Bowl 42. It got blown up. It gets blown up here again. Yeah. McDaniels got kind of like
a little different when you don't have Rob Gronkowski running.
A little bit different.
Moss running deep. You know, it's a little different.
Yeah.
But I actually will say this. I want to make this point, Fitzy.
Yeah.
I think Josh McDaniels was fine in week one. That was more about Drake May missing a lot of open guys. I think McDaniels was better in week two. And I think the offense as a whole operated at a much more efficient level. But when I look at the biggest difference from week one to week two, it's not McDaniels. It's not even Stevenson or Hunter Henry or Mac Hollins. It's May was just much, much better in week two as compared to week one.
Yes, he was much better. I thought Josh took himself a little bit out of the mix as well, calling the smarter, shorter plays, taking advantage of Miami's aggressive front four. And they're just completely invisible linebacking core. Speaking of invisible linebacking cores, that's going to be a bit of an issue for the Patriots this week. Johnny, not sure if you heard, but the word around town is the two linebackers that lead the NFL currently with the most missed tackles would be my guy, Robert Spillane, who I believe my prediction of 170 tackles on the season is a little bit of jeopardy.
You might miss that many. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. And then Christian Ellis is behind him. Spillane has 8 and Christian Ellis has 6. What's the story with that?
So this is interesting. And this is something you and I talked about on a Six Rings in training camp is one of the most concerning areas of that defense was their depth at linebacker. Like, I think Spillane will be better. He's going to get more comfortable in the defense. He's not going to miss that many tackles. But beyond him, I mean, Christian Ellis, nice guy. That's a special teamer, and you have him in a starting role as a linebacker. We have seen Kyle Duggar start both games playing in the box and then get pulled off the field pretty quickly, obviously played a little bit later in those games. But I still maintain now, I said this a few weeks ago, can they work him into some sort of Adrian Phillips-type role where he's almost a hybrid linebacker? Marte Mapu had the interception. Maybe that'll get him on the field a little bit more. He's kind of that hybrid safety linebacker type body, but that depth at linebacker, that's a problem. Like Spillane, I think he'll be better, and I think he's a quality starter over the long term, but he has not played well. Mm-hmm. And beyond him, there's really not a lot of guys you have, and there's really nobody you have confidence in to be a starter alongside Spillane. And in this defense, you're only going to need two linebackers anyway because they're going to run so much nickel, but it's still, you don't have a guy besides Spillane you have confidence in, and that problem is compounded when Spillane hasn't played well the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's had a lot of people clamoring for Juwan Bentley all over again, though he hasn't signed on with another team. People were far more convinced that they were going to be going with the lighter weight, faster, aggressive, violent defense and all the other things.
Pads on.
Yeah, give Vrabel. Dude, you look pretty good down there. Like, you saw the photo that needs to be hung immediately inside the walls of one formerly Tom Brady place, the Pats Hall of Fame, and of course the Louvre as well. Like, that photo of Vrabel in stride with Gibson was spectacular. Put that on a shirt and sell it until they get the cease and desist order out there. No. I just wonder how they're going to address that. And I know we have a little nice reunion with old pal Jabril Peppers, someone else who was recently told, "You're not fast enough. You're not good enough for us."
Another guy that would be a better tackler than Christian Ellis. Just saying.
Honest to God, like really, they would be. But back to the positives on the offensive side of the ball. Offensive line, our guys Will Campbell and Jared Wilson both getting very high grades. Nice high grades from Pro Football Focus. I don't believe either allowed a sack, which is very impressive. I know Drake was taken down 3 times on the day, but Wilson and Will Campbell both had pretty clean sheets, which is great to see. That's a huge building block. And I know there were 2 pass catches on the wheel for Travion, each for 15 yards. Still doesn't have a touchdown. But with Ramondre looking so spry as well and being a danger in the passing game, you don't have to force Travion Henderson out there. He did actually, with a little all-22-age that I watched on Twitter, John, he looked like he actually had, believe it or not, after being sold on his pass pro abilities, looks like he had a hard time handling some of the big boys coming off the line for the Dolphins. But Ramondre, I think he actually looks a little faster out there than advertised.
Yeah, and you go back to Mike Vrabel's introductory press conference, and one of the things he said is they want to take advantage of bad football. And the Dolphins are a really bad defense, and that's a lot of bad football. And the Patriots took advantage, and that's why we mentioned earlier, like, this is a game last year or the year before, they would have found a way to lose, right? This year they find a way to win. Wasn't pretty, but to your point, the Dolphins do not have a good run defense, and the Patriots took advantage. This was Ramondre Stevenson's best game since late in the 2022 season. And you look at the offensive line, I know you can PFF grades and pass block win rate, all that stuff. Another thing, too, during the game, did you really think about Will Campbell or Jared Wilson at all? And when the answer is no for a rookie lineman in his first road game, that's a pretty good thing, right? So I thought those guys played really well, especially Campbell throughout the entirety of the game. Will Campbell's Bradbury, I thought, was really good outside of that bad snap that he rolled to May. But Will Campbell was probably their best offensive lineman throughout the 60 minutes of the game. And that was really good to see. And your point on Stevenson, I think when it comes to Stevenson, Henderson, and Gibson, it's a classic case of three guys that are much better off as part of a committee. Like, I think Stevenson's best work was his rookie year when he ran for 600 yards in tandem with Damian Harris. I think he only played 12 games that year. And you look at so far this season, just look at the Miami game. Okay, Henderson didn't play well, had a few penalties, but Stevenson played great. And Gibson had arguably the biggest play of the game with that kick return touchdown. Ooh. So if on a week-to-week basis, if you can get two out of those three guys, whoever the two may be, two out of those three guys to make some sort of big contribution, that will help your offense a lot. And that's going to be part of the recipe towards winning games. And they got that in Miami. Stevenson, arguably the best player on the field. And then Gibson, arguably best single play in the entire game in that kickoff return.
Yeah, the defensive line generated some pressure, but it's not like they lived in the backfield and terrorized Tua the whole game. Milton Williams with the $104 million sack to wrap it up after they were
gifted,
of course.
Huge difference in that fourth quarter.
He's great, like, man. I got to say, so far, that looks like money well spent.
And it felt like the second and third quarter, Miami's offense kind of did whatever it wanted. Pats couldn't generate much pressure. Miami was hitting some big plays. Now, the first quarter, Patriots are really good, albeit one series. But that fourth quarter, something changed with the Patriots defense. I mean, they had 5 sacks in this game, all of them in the second half, multiple ones on the final drive itself, including the play to end the game by Milton Williams. So credit to that Patriots defense. Those guys really stepped up after struggling, especially in that second and early third quarter. They stepped up a ton in that fourth quarter and were finally able to generate pressure.
And they generated pressure, and it couldn't have come at a better time as well. Applying pressure and knocking Tua off his spot, not giving him a chance to get in rhythm to make a play in what would have been a heartbreaking 34-33 defeat, turns out to be a heartwarming 33-27 win. And back to your point about finding a way to win. To me, you know, I opened saying, was this more the Pats found a way to win or Miami found a way to lose? The answer is both. But the what we need to focus on is the idea that they found a way to win this game, because when you're a 2/3 brand new roster, when you're a head coach who just took over back in the late winter time following the disastrous final season of Belichick and the Mayo debacle, and you've got guys wondering what's going on, you had a lousy debut at home, You just need a win. That's it. You just need to just get one on the board, because winning begets winning. And if you're going to create a competitive culture that is bereft of entitlement and more about excitement and effort, that's what you have to do. Find a way to win. And even if Miami contributed significantly with the Achane step, you know, their offensive line problems, and their bad defense, great. That's whatever it took. Like the fact that Barringer, Pedro Pascal, the punter, blasted a 70-yard punt, and then coverage just completely broke down. Brendan Schooler couldn't wrap the tackle. 22, I think it was Charles Woods. A couple of guys whiffed on that one. You know, that's a deflating moment. But for Gibson to come back, and, you know, we've heard a little bit from Jeremy Springer on why they're using running backs on the kickoffs and the new dynamic kickoff return, because he said it's like more of a 9-on-7 running play now, or 7-on-9 running play, than it is 11-v-11 in classic kickoff traditional format. I know President Trump is not a huge fan of it, but I actually find the new kickoffs to be more than just dynamic. They're pretty damn exciting, and I like watching guys take the ball out. So that was a huge play for Gibson. Just, you have to teach yourself how to get it done. And I feel like overall, led by Mays, best performance as a pro, that's what they did Sunday.
Yeah, and it's that old adage, right? Before you can learn how to win, you have to learn not to lose. And the Patriots did a good job not losing the game against Miami. And look, as I said before, this is a game. Last year, no doubt in my mind, they would have lost. Same with the year before. Two missed extra points.
100%.
That botched kickoff on the final kickoff they had. Like, that would have sunk them. So for them to win this game, I think it not only shows resiliency, but it shows that maybe they're starting to get it a little bit. Like, maybe the new coaching staff and a lot of these new players starting to pay off a little bit. Like, again, you saw Milton Williams have that huge sack at the end of the game. You saw the offense under new coordinator Josh McDaniels operate really well at times, right? So maybe they're starting to get it there, because, yeah, Miami's a bad team. Miami might win 4 or 5 games this year, and that coach might lose his job. They're a bad
team. I think
team.
He's done after the Buffalo game Thursday. Yeah. I think sent packing this week.
Side note, too, because remember when everybody was worshiping all these like tight pants young offensive coordinators? Go look, how many of them have actually won Super Bowls? Just something to research there. But look, again, I think them just not losing this game, and we also should add, in Miami, a place that traditionally even Tom Brady and Bill Belichick struggled to win there when the Patriots are winning Super Bowls. For them to win that game there, to execute better than Miami in the key moments, I think that does matter going forward. Like, yeah, okay, Miami stinks, but you also made the plays. There are plenty of teams you played last year that stunk and the year before that you couldn't beat. So now to beat them again, I think it was a nice step forward, kind of where they're at in their rebuild.
Yeah, and so now you go 1-1 into a Week 3 matchup against the Steelers, not to go full-blown Pittsburgh.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Preview, but you know, this is going to be, hey, guy, that was just one good effort, and there still wasn't a lot of great defense, except late in the game, as people have pointed out, that they stepped up when they needed to in the final minute. But you win, if you can win on Sunday, then you got Carolina coming to town, which could be a very winnable game. And not to say that it would potentially be a 3-1 September where people would be yelling out loud, like, are the Pats back? I think the Pats are back. But like, this is how you teach yourself to get the job done and build the confidence you need to. October has a bunch of winnable games as well. I'm not calling for anything beyond just entertaining football, which is what we got on Sunday. Now, how do they avoid, let me ask you this before we get into the Brady stuff. How do the Patriots avoid falling into the trap of buying their own press and believing like, hey, we put up 33 on the Dolphins, we should be able to keep that momentum going and roll the Steelers Sunday?
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show. Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, change makers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, to me, it's all about leadership, Fitzy. And this is where if Mike Vrabel is as good of a coach as you and I think he is, and a lot of Patriots fans think he is, they should be able to build off this, right? Because like we said, Miami did a lot to lose this game. If the Patriots are committing 12 penalties every week or missing extra points every week or having kickoffs short or giving up big plays on defense every week, they're not going to win a lot of games doing that. Like, you can beat Miami doing that, and that's good. But can we see them against Pittsburgh maybe not give up multiple 20-yard pass plays, by the way, against DK Metcalf, who had a 50-yard touchdown catch in Foxborough last year? Can you not do that? Can you make your extra points in your field goals, right? Missed a field goal week one, missed two extra points in week two. Can you do the little things at a higher clip? I'm not saying to have zero penalties. Granted, that's the goal, but can you have five or six penalties instead of 12? Like, that to me is all going to come down to leadership. It starts with Mike Vrabel. If he is as good of a coach as we think he is, these are things they should be able to build on. Because you go back to last year, Fitz, you talked about the Mayo era. Mm-hmm. They give up a 50-yard touchdown to DK Metcalf in week two. Then a few weeks later, they give up a 50-yard pass to Deebo Samuel against the 49ers. Then it happens again. You know, they have the
Cooper Kupp against the Rams. That was awful.
69-yard touchdown when they zero blitzed in the third quarter against Cooper Kupp and the Rams. Like, those things kept happening week after week after week. Can they correct those things here and go into Pittsburgh and or go in a game against Pittsburgh and play a really competitive game? Can you finish September 2-2 at least? Whether you lose to Pittsburgh and beat Carolina, whatever, 3-1 would be great. But can you at least build on this and have two competitive games, win at least one of them? To me, it all comes down to leadership and building off this.
Great question from Daniel Cardwell, watching live on Facebook as Lions Den and I record the latest Six Rings in Football. Thanks. What is the latest on Gonzo? He's been missed on the back end. Carlton Davis has been good, not great. Now, see, I think getting your best defensive player inarguably back, shoring up the secondary would be massive. And this is exactly when Roman Wilson, sneaky good. Calvin Austin, the book is getting out. This guy's a pro player and he's a noisemaker. And obviously, DK Metcalf has haunted the Patriots previously. That's a big body. You may even want to put Carlton Davis on him, but if Gonzo's back and we don't know, hell, the coach doesn't even know, because he says there's a chance on the Greg Hill Show Monday, and then by the time he meets up with Garigian and the Pats media cartel 4 hours later, he kind of walks it back. Side note, Vrabel's kind of doing a sneaky little bit of Mayo-fying his pressers this year as well. It's just that we like him so much and believe in him that we're going to give him multiple mulligans on this front, but I don't know if we're going to see Gonzo this week. This has got to be the most debated over, mystifying hamstring injury in New England sports history, or at least this century.
Yeah, and you could hope, even if Gonzo could play 15 snaps against the Steelers and on some of those key moments, put him on Metcalf or put him out there, I think it would help a lot. I just don't see him being back this week, hopefully by the Carolina game, because otherwise, if he's not back for the Carolina game, then they might as well have gone and put him on injured reserve to start the year, right? Missed the four games. So obviously there was a setback there. And to your point, like, these big plays the defense has given up, I think Gonzalez being out is a huge part of it. I think another part of it is a brand new scheme, right, that they haven't run here in New England in 25 years, right? They've been running the same scheme. And also, it's a bunch of new guys too. Like, the question mentioned Carlton Davis. I think he's been pretty good, but he's going to look a lot better when he's the number two corner and he's more comfortable in the scheme going forward. Same thing with Robert Spillane. Same thing with, and Milton Williams has been good, but he's going to look even better, I think, the more and more comfortable they get in this scheme. So I think it's kind of this confluence of events which has caused them to give up a bunch of these big plays. And to be fair, they played against Brock Bowers and Jakobi Meyers and Tyreek Hill, guys that, you know, Jaylen can make Waddle, big plays, and Jalen Waddle. Right. So,
yeah, exactly. And that word again, everybody, was confluence. That's a fancy word. You guys can all go home and look up for like a perfect storm of events as well. Yeah. A gathering, a beer summit of events. I'm with you 10,000,000%. Gonzo comes back, everyone else improves by 5, 10, 15, 20%, because he takes that much of your offensive effort and talent away, therefore giving the pass rush more time to get home, therefore allowing people like Alex Austin and Carlton Davis, who are maybe playing, guarding, or defending above pay grade and weight, a chance to sort of defend their class. They'll look better. He's welcome back. He can start earning that $140 million deal that's Patrick Surtain the second worthy. Yes, Gonzo, it would be great to get him back. All right, folks, any other positives you would like to take away? Shout out from the Patriots week two victory, as well as our pal Jeff Stenberg down in Tampa. How about Tampa 2-0, by the way? A couple teams right now that are making some noise that I'm very
Colts
happy.
Colts, too?
Colts. How about that? The legend of Indiana Jones, they're calling him out in Indianapolis. That's unbelievable.
I think the question there from Ballerina about Kyle Williams and Pop Douglas, like, that's an interesting one, too, because Pop Douglas had the touchdown in week one, really quiet. Kayshon Booty really quiet in week two. I think a lot of that, to me, was a game plan thing. We saw them do a ton of two tight ends. Mac Hollins was also on the field a lot. I think they intentionally went for size here. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a big part of this. You saw them, they wanted to run the ball. They wanted to throw to bigger players on the outside. And I think that was a big part of this. So don't be shocked if Kyle Williams gets more involved, maybe right in this Pittsburgh game going forward, but at least over the next month or so.
Be curious how they attack Pittsburgh as well, because you got Joey Porter Jr. He's a big cornerback. Jalen Ramsey, even if he's up there in years, big cornerback, smart guy. Jabril Peppers, obviously with a grudge and an agenda. We know that he eats violence for breakfast and hits real damn hard. So I think the Pittsburgh game Sunday
has always had success against Pittsburgh Steelers defenses, and it's the same defense they've been running there for a while.
I know Pats are 14-4 against them this century as well. So we shall see. It's pretty good. Pretty good. But, like our pal Stenberg down in Tampa said, Miami's a bad team, but everyone needs a confidence booster. Slump busters are not a bad thing. Hey, even Johnny Lyons enjoys a slump buster every now and again. That's all I can say, Stenny. Allegedly. Of course. So there's your Pats positives and takeaways from Miami. House of Horrors in Miami Gardens no longer. Pats win 1-1 in the season, looking to build on that this Sunday against the Stellars.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.